Welcome, everybody, to Biblical Resources for the Christmas Dawn Mass. Our Gospel is Luke 2:15-20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Initial observations. This reading is simply the continuation of the reading for Midnight Mass. Some of the information given there applies here too, of course. It illustrates a response to the events of salvation, and already some are worshipping the baby. The Old Testament background is various. We read in Genesis 25:24, "When her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb." And again, Solomon speaking in Wisdom 7:4, "I was nursed with care in swaddling cloths." And in Isaiah, as before, "The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not understand." Somewhat more detailed background. Number one, David as shepherd. We read in 1 Samuel 16:6-13. "When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.' Then Jesse called Aminadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen any of these.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all your sons here?' And he said, 'There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here.' He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, 'Rise and anoint him, for this is the one.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah." Number two, on the theme of a future Davidic shepherd to come, we read in Ezekiel 34:23, "I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd." And in Ezekiel 37:24 we read, "My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall follow my ordinances and be careful to observe my statutes." Number three, Bethlehem is often mentioned in connection with David. So we read connections in 1 Samuel 17:13-15, 26:28, 2 Samuel 23:14-16, 1 Chronicles 11:16-18, also Luke 2:4 and John 7:42. A significant echo can also be found in the book of Ruth. That's Ruth 1:1-2, 19:22, Ruth 2:4 and Ruth 4:11. The key text, however, is the one cited by Luke himself. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. What kind of writing do we have here? It's a kind of history. In the context of a culture, this is historical writing, in inverted commas, mirroring the conventions and practices of the time. In such cases, writers used standard topoi commonplaces to express the significance of the person being written about. As can be seen in the notes, the history as such is a bit dodgy, and the place given to the miraculous would not count as history today. Number 2. Midrash. Neither Matthew 1 or 2 nor Luke 1 and 2 is strictly Midrash, a type of rewriting and filling out of biblical narratives found at the time. However, the strong links to biblical models and motifs lend a kind of Midrashic air to the writing. New Testament foreground. The Davidic origin of Jesus is important in the New Testament and present in the earliest texts such as Romans 1:1-7. In the Gospels, it is important and present even in John's Gospel. David is a consistent subject of reflection also in Luke's second volume. For example, we read in Acts 15:12-19 as follows. The whole assembly kept silence and listened to Barnabas and Paul as they told of the signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they had finished speaking, James replied, "My brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first looked favourably on the Gentiles to take from among them a people for his own name. This agrees with the words of the prophets, as it is written, 'After this I will return and will rebuild the dwelling of David which has fallen. From its ruins I will rebuild it, and I will set it up so that all other peoples may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles over whom my name has been called. Thus says the Lord, who has been making these things known from long ago.'" And we read also in Acts 3:17-21. "And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God has fulfilled what he foretold through all the prophets that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, that is, Jesus, who must remain in heaven until the time of universal restoration that God announced long ago through his holy prophets." What about St. Paul? Apart from Romans 1:1-7, Paul refers to David as the author of the Psalms. We read in Romans 4:6-8, "So also David speaks of the blessedness of those to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whom the Lord will not reckon sin." A brief commentary. Verse 15. "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. Shepherds, as such, don't really recur in the Gospel. There is, of course, the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15:3-7. Verse 16. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. Mary and Joseph were previously mentioned in Luke 1:27. The word for what had been told them, Rhema, is a feature of Luke Acts. It's 5 times in Matthew, twice in Mark, 19 times in Luke, 12 times in John, and 14 times in the Acts of the Apostles. The range is from what was said to an event that can be spoken about. Verse 17. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. That is, they bear witness, confirming their experience. Cf. Luke 24:35. Verse 18. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. The all is very important for Matthew and for Luke, and on this day means that salvation is offered to all without discrimination. And the word all is frequent across the New Testament. 129 times in Matthew, 68 times in Mark, 158 times in Luke, 65 times in John, and 171 times in the Acts of the Apostles. Compare the following quotation from Acts 10:34-37. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Acts 2:17. We also read, Then Peter began to shout to them, I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That's Acts 10:34-37. Amazement is also, as a reaction, is also a feature of Luke Acts. Verse 19. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The only two other occurrences of the word treasured illustrate the range of its meaning rather well. Number one, we read, Neither is new wine put into old wineskins, otherwise the skins burst and the wine is spilt, and the skins are destroyed, but new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. The word preserved there is the same word for treasured. That's Matthew 9:17. In Mark 6:20 we read, For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him, the same word as treasured. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. Mark 6:20. In the New Testament, the other word, pondered, is limited to Luke Acts. So Luke 2:19, 14:31, Acts 4:15, 17:18, 18:27, and 20:14. The meaning ranges from the literal, to take with, to the metaphorical, to consider, to discuss. Heart also has a certain prominence in Luke Acts. Verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. To glorify has a limited frequency in Luke Acts, but of course it is extensively used in John's Gospel. The Gospel, Luke's Gospel, ends with something very like this. They were continually in the temple, blessing God. That's Luke 24:53. Praising is special to Luke Acts. So it occurs, it's zero in Matthew, zero in Mark, 3 times in Luke, 0 in John, and 3 times in the Acts. Of course, it's not that common. seen and heard make an interesting combination. Compare. And he answered them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Luke 7:22. We also read, Then he said, The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear his voice. For you will be his witnesses to all the world of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized, and have your sins washed away, calling on his name. Acts 22:14-16. Pointers for prayer. Number one, this was no ordinary child. It is the birth of the Son of God. In order to take in the implications of that, we can do well to reflect, to recall Meister Eckhart's reflection and ask ourselves how the birth of Jesus takes place in us. Meister Eckhart wrote, What good is it to me if the eternal birth of the Divine Son takes place unceasingly but does not take place within myself? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace and if I am not also full of grace? Number two, the shepherds were both frightened and thrilled. Good news can sometimes be terrifying. Pregnancy and the birth of a child can give rise to both feelings. Hopefully, the joy and wonder at new life outweigh the fear and apprehension. What has been your experience? Prayer. Today, O God of light, your loving kindness dawns. Your tender compassion breaks upon us, for in our Saviour, born of human flesh, you reveal your gracious gift of our birth to life eternal. Fill us with wonder on this holy day. Let us treasure in our hearts what we have been told, that our lives may proclaim your great and gentle mercy. We make our prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Word made flesh, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, in the splendour of eternal light, God forever and ever. Amen. Introductions to the readings. First, Isaiah 62. The reading proclaims salvation, as befits the day. But we are also in the reading, as the people saved. And wonderful things are said of us, the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, the sought after, a city not forsaken. The second reading from Titus chapter 3. Of course, we love to understand things, and it is right that we should bring reason and faith together. Let's not forget, however, the real motive for God's offer of salvation. It was for no reason except his compassion and his extraordinary love for us all. The Gospel, Luke chapter 2. How do we make our own this great day? The portrait of Mary in this short passage may help us to treasure what we hear and to ponder it in our hearts. Brief thought for the day. The birth of any child is always a source of wonder when we feel nearer the mystery of God, mystery of life, and closer to God. In the birth of Jesus, we see our God made visible, and so are caught up in love of the God we cannot see. The thrilling reality of the Word made flesh is both gift and call. In the words of the first letter of John, Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. We are challenged to love the God we cannot see in the neighbour we can see. There can be no separation of these two realities. To love God is to love your neighbour, and to love your neighbour is to love God. Prayer. Today, Love itself became flesh like one of us, so that you, O God, might see and love in us what you see and love in him. May we see you and love you in our brothers and sisters. Amen. Thanks very much, everybody, and a very happy Christmas to you all.